ourselves. God, every day we live in a world that constantly wants to change us back to that old nature. And God, every day we need to pray that you change us back to the nature or to the Spirit of God and the example we need to be. Father, I pray as we sing that it's more, again, than just words. May it be a song and a desire of our hearts. May we sing it to ourselves every day as we go through the journey of life. And Father, we just thank you for each one here. Father, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds. And Lord, as we study tonight, and God, we just thank you for all that you do in us and through us. In your Son's name, amen. Okay, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to pick out a couple verses there. We realize, and again, a very familiar verse you'll find in this text, one that often we know, and that basically is, guard your heart, for out of it are the wellsprings of life. We want to talk about that a little bit, and I want to open up with a thing that I had seen, and as I was studying, I was watching this interview with Billy Graham, and I don't promote all the other people that are involved in this, but it was an interview or Glenn Beck was having with Billy Graham, and when he began to ask him towards the end of his life, and he said, Billy Graham, who's going to replace these men? And he listed a few men, Ronald Reagan and some other people, and he says, Billy, even like you, who's going to replace people like you? And Billy Graham's answer was unbelievable. His first response was, first of all, I am tired of men praising men and not giving God the glory for what we do. And I think that's a phenomenal statement from Billy Graham. He was a man who did so much for the cause of Christ. He was a man who preached the truth, and he did amazing, amazing things for Christ. But yet he said, don't praise the men. It's not the men that God's going to raise up. And the next thing he said to him was even more interesting, because it hits home to you and I, was this. He said, I do not believe God is going to do that again. I do not believe God is going to raise up a few men of caliber of evangelist like myself. But he said, what I do believe is what God's going to use is every one of his children that remain faithful to him. And so the question to Billy Graham was, who is God going to use to help steer our nation in the right way? Who is God going to raise up that we can listen to? And his statement was interesting. He doesn't believe God's going to do that again. He believes God's going to use the everyday man using the talents and the gifts that God has given them as he remains faithful to him. And that's us. I mean, that really hit home with me. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, we have this series of verses that basically talk about wisdom. And we know what wisdom is, right? Wisdom is knowledge applied correctly. It's not just having knowledge. There are a lot of people who have knowledge and are clueless in many things of life. Wisdom is taking that truth, taking what you know to be right about God, and then applying it correctly, either to your life or to your speech or to whatever you have going on. So it's important as we see this wisdom that is going to be introduced in chapter 4. Verse 1 says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tend only, beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom and understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. I'm going to pause there for a moment, because those first five verses are important, because it's the transition, or just the foundation of everything else he's going to say. So we have the law, we know what this is, and we know it's the wisdom basically is what the whole book of Proverbs is about. Whenever you see the word her, talking about getting her and gaining, it's talking about the wisdom. And so we know wisdom is true wisdom is the truth of God applied correctly in our lives. So when we apply this truth, how do we do that? What does it look like on an everyday basis? Because we need to get beyond. And the interview I was watching was interesting, and I'm gonna mention his name, and some of you may have heard him, but again, I'm not promoting anyone. But the actual interview was with that Anthony who wrote these songs. Have you heard the Rich Men North of Richmond? some of these country songs. This guy's just coming on scene. This interview that I watched, he was giving his testimony. And he is a young babe in Christ. His testimony, and again, if you get the chance to listen to it, then there are bleeps in it. You know what the bleeps are, okay? Because he is such a young babe in Christ, but how he wrote those and what he decided to do with his life as he was in his truck completely broken because of what he was experiencing in life, because what he was watching his world come into, and he became broken before God. And he cried out to God and said, God, if you're real, I need you. God, if you're real, take my talents and use them. And within 2 weeks, the guy has three or four top one country songs talking about the hardships of life. And what he said in his testimony was, I was raised in a church, and I was raised with the people who appear to never be real. And he said, it threw me off a different direction because I could not come up to the standard of what they portrayed their life was like. I thought, wow, isn't that real? When we look at wisdom, we can have all the knowledge and we can have all the great things. And as it says in the text, you know, hear the instruction, keep them, listen to them. And the instructions are great. We can know all the do's and don'ts, but it's the wisdom that makes us real. So in this, and as I was watching that and studying, I was actually studying and watching at the same time. But when we think of this, how do we do that? How do we become real to a generation who doesn't want, at least at first, and I understand this can go different directions, who really doesn't want to hear the Sunday school answer, even though the Sunday school answer is what they need. They want something to them that is real. The Sunday school answer real? Absolutely. But just that isn't what they want. They want to see somebody live the Sunday school answer. They want to know the brokenness. They want to know that, listen, you and I are broken vessels. You and I are broken people. And when we walk around like everything's fine and we're not broken and everything in our life is great, we walk around like our families are perfect and our children, my kids would never do that. Well, trust me, they've done it at least 10 times behind your back. When we walk around with that facade, it's the world looks at us and says, you're not even real. What world are you living in? And it doesn't mean that we can't strive to have that. We can't strive to be that. But we're living in a world where it's harder and harder. And we're living in a world where they want to see the answers lived. They just don't want to hear them. And we've probably been living in that world for an awful long time. And so his definition of church, his idea of what church was, is even though they had the answers, they didn't know how to live them or tell them. And that was his phrase. And that really struck me, you know. It's are we like that? Or do we do that? Do we walk around like everything is great? Do we walk around not allowing people to see our inner struggles, our inner hurts, our worries, our fears? Because we have them, right? Y'all look at me like, yeah, you got them. Okay, we all got them. And to bring that facade of, I'm above that. Man, I think we become more damaging to the cause of Christ than we are any good. And so how do we do this? How do we have this wisdom and yet be real with it at the same time? Jump into verse 20. that text. And again, he talks about through this chapter, he talks about the what to have, the grace, verse 10, that my son receive my sayings, and going down, and again in verse 12, when thou goest, thy steep shall not straighten, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. And he's encouraging them all down through here. Then he says in verse 19, the way of the wicked is darkness, they know not at what they stumble. And then he comes back into this tender moment of, but my son. You see, to me, it goes from ye or you children in verse 1, and he's bringing it down now to a person, bringing it down to a personal, intimate, my son. And so we need to catch that little bit of a change of who he's now speaking to. Because it was a very general statement in verse 1. Now it's coming down to a very pointed individual, which is he's his son. And listen, anybody that's had children, there's a bond there that you will never have with anybody else. There's a love there that you'll never have. It's that parental child bond that everybody gets it. And so when you have this, it comes down to now my son. Very important. Attend to my words. And we're going to look at these first thing he says to his son, attend to my words. How do we do that? Incline thine ear to my sayings. And what he's saying, the very first step in this, how do we have this wisdom in a world that needs to see us live it? Listen. Give your ear to God. You got to do more than just hear it. You got to listen. And I think the wives could probably answer this better. Isn't there a difference between the men hearing you and listening to you? I'll put us under the rug. Yeah, we'll go under the bus. You know, there's a difference of, yeah, I hear you, and we do nothing, then, oh, I'm listening. Now I'm actually going to get up and do what you ask. You know, I'm going to do what you say. There's a big difference in that. And sometimes I think when we hear the word of God, we hear what God says. But are we listening to what God says? Are we going and acting upon? You see, if we want to be real and we want to have wisdom and we want to live wisdom, it has to go further than just hearing it. You got to listen. So first step in there is incline thine ear unto my sayings. The second one we find in verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. What does, don't let them depart from my eyes. You've got to be able to see. And to me, that's a follower. You've got to follow. You've got to be able to see what would Christ do. We see that WWG, what would Jesus do? You got to be able to see. Look at what I'm saying. Not only do we have to have an intellect to have wisdom, but we also have to have a will to see, a desire to see what it looks like. To me, that's understanding. When you have a wisdom or you have an ear that's listening and you have a heart that has a desire to do, you're gonna be watchful. You're going to be looking. You're going to be watching for the pitfalls. And we go down through, you can see in this text and the following text about the path. You're going to be watching for things. And so how I took this is, and even in my life, and I think the second phrase in all of our life, is basically, let not depart from thy eyes. Be watchful. Because you'll stumble without even realizing you're about to stumble. Be watchful because there's a lot of pitfalls Satan will put in your way. There's a lot of things in your way. And they could be great things. They'd be good things. But I think Satan's number one tool for us is just to simply stay busy. If we can stay busy, then we can stay unactive for God. Even in busy and good things. And we need to be careful how we look at this. Again, as even Billy Graham said, God's going to use the individuals as he's gifted them. What are you gifted at? I don't know of anybody that's gifted at everything, although we attempt to do everything. We don't delegate, we don't share, we got it. And maybe I'm speaking about myself, maybe you all got that under control. But you know, it's easier just to do it if you want it done than to task somebody or have somebody do it. You know, the old saying, if you want it done right, do it yourself. I never understood that, because who determines I'm right? Who determines we're right when we make that statement? If you want it done right, do it yourself. If you want it done to your opinion, do it yourself. That's a better way to say that. But you know, when we look at what he's saying, we got to have this, our eyes, keep them, in verse 21, in the midst of thine heart. So we need to see, we need to keep watch, we need to be careful. Keep them in your heart. Because really, it's the heart that focuses the eyes, isn't it? If our eyes begin to wander, our heart will put them back in focus. Where's your heart? Who owns your heart? What will are you expressing in your heart? My will or God's will? What are you doing with the heart? The heart is the central focus that keeps our eyes focused on where they need to be. As we listen and continue to live out the truth that we know, that's wisdom. It's very important that we have the wisdom, because there's a result then in verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That's, I don't know. I have yet to find anybody that says, you know, I serve God faithfully and I'm this old and I am in the best health I've ever been in. I haven't found that person that says in their elderly age, I'm in the best health I've ever been in. The only time I saw that was Chuck Norris, and he was trying to sell something. At 80 years old, he looked good. I don't know. But we got to understand, I don't think it's necessarily talking about the health of the physical. We know that we are going to be dying. We know that we are going to wear out. We know that we are going to come to a point where our bodies just aren't going to be able to do what we used to do. And I've said this many times. I tell many people, I don't want to live longer. I just want to be the best looking stiff you've ever seen. That's why I eat healthy. You're not going to live any longer. But how important, it's the health of your being. It's the health of you. It's the health of your spiritual life. It's the health of your mind. It's finding joy in the midst of all that's going on. It's finding joy when your life begins to wear down and your life begins, your bodies and your bone begin to, it's growing old gracefully. Listen, that's a miracle in some lives. That's an act of God to grow old gracefully. And so when we see this health, I don't think it's physically. I don't think it's talking about we will have these bodies that simply go on forever, at least not this side of heaven. And so I think it's an inner, because it's the heart. You want to keep the heart healthy. Why? Because it's the center. It focuses the eyes. As you're listening, we need to keep a healthy heart. And that's exactly what we find in verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This whole phrase, the whole thing that I believe that the psalmist is talking here, or the Proverbs is talking, is Solomon, is the fact that when you guard your heart, when you look in the midst of, you want a healthy heart, this is how you do it. This is how you live out the wisdom you know. You have to keep your ears opening, always listening. You have to keep your eyes focused on where God has you and the opportunity, the divine times in our life when God puts us in that right place. And you have to have your heart healthy. A healthy heart for God means it's a heart that has been surrendered, a heart that is submissive. It's a heart that has been truly changed by God, because as we watch, we keep out that old man, as we're careful to guard that heart, because that's exactly what we find in verse 24. This is the things you got to watch for. These are the things you got to keep out. Verse 24 says, put away. All these things he says put away, I think, are the things that come so easily in our life. And again, the first one, from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Now, sometimes I think when we read that, we automatically think, well, I don't swear. I don't take the Lord's name in vain. What does he mean about the perverse? All you can do is gossip. What's the difference? I truly believe if you gossip, you might as well take the Lord's name in vain, because they're both sin. There is no level of, there is no definition of difference. Sin is sin. And so there are times that we as Christians doing our best, we still say things we shouldn't say. And it doesn't have to be what the world would claim or define, or what Christendom would define as a bad word. Just talk about somebody who isn't in the conversation. Talk about somebody who's not there. or to have the negative tone in your voice, continue to bring the negative. I think somebody who continues to speak negative doesn't have a healthy heart, doesn't have a healthy outlook. They're not watching. They're not in the right place. So the first thing here is put away, again, from the forward mouth and perverse lips. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. This kind of, whoosh, put the blinders on. And then it goes on to say, again, in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all the ways be established. Now, some of you have experienced my expertise train driving. Some of you have not. Some of you may not want to. But when I look at that verse, it's very clear to me. I drive better at night than I do during the day, because I can't sightsee. I can't be looking everywhere. And don't laugh too hard, Brady. You were on a five-hour trip. You heard the rumble strips. Anyway, that's what that verse says. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all the ways be established in verse 26. The eyes look right on them, 25. Let the eyelids look straight. Don't be sightseeing. Don't be looking different places. Because that's exactly how Satan gets us to stumble, because we're not watching as we're supposed to be watching. That was stated in verse 21. When you're sightseeing about life, when you're looking at the negative of life, you're looking at all the great things our government is doing, you're looking at all the things that are going on in our life, you're going to stumble because you're not paying attention to the path. Wisdom says, I'm going to stay focused on the path. I'm going to stay focused on the direction that God has given me. You see, it's not about the atmosphere or the surroundings of our journey. God's already told us that it's going to be full of tribulations and trials. He already told us that our journey is not going to be easy. Why focus on that? Focus on the path. That's wisdom. Focus on where God has you in the moment. That's wisdom. Focus on the people right in front of you. That's wisdom. Stay in the day. Stay present enough to listen, or to hear, to listen. Don't listen to speak. Don't listen to respond. Stay in the moment to listen. Say, okay, God, I just want to hear you. That's exactly what they were referring to back in inclining thy ear in verse 20. So it's the straight look. It's the keeping them focused on the path. In verse 27, and this is the verse that gets me when I drive, and turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Just don't be looking. Because when you look left and you look right, you see things that Satan wants to give you. You see things that Satan wants you to be fearful of. Now listen, I'll start now. You can see it coming. They're going to try to mask up. They're going to try to shut it down. I'm not going to. I'm not shutting the church down again. I'm not masking up. I refuse to be fearful of what man is trying to do. Because you know, when my appointment is up, according to Hebrews, my appointment to die is up, it don't matter if I get a mask on or not. I'm going to go. It don't matter. We can't be fearful. Why? Wisdom says stay on the path. If God has COVID in your path, okay, who cares? God's got you. And that just might be the method he says you're coming home. That's okay. That's the fear we have. We have the fear of leaving this. Why? We have our 10 stakes way too deep in this earth. There's a purpose. That's exactly what he was saying in verse 1 and 4 through 5. I've given you the doctrine. I've given you the law. I've given things to you. I want you to understand them. Let their heart, again in verse 4, retain the words, keep my commandments, and live. Just take that phrase alone. I've given you my commandment. Live. Listen, if you're running in fear, you're not living. You're running in fear. Well, man, you're not living. The life that God died for you and I to have is joyful, fearless, and just living in the joy. And that's what we need to be. That's what we need to do. So here's how you do it. Back as we studied through, take those steps, take that, put away those things, keep your eyes focused, turn not to the left or the right, and I truly believe at that moment we will be able to live the wisdom that the world sees is real, because they're going to see us hurt when we hurt. They're going to see us broken when we're broken, but they're also going to see the joy and the strength that the wisdom will give us when we stay focused on our God. Jim? Yeah, I agree. God never said this, the journey was going to be easy. Never said the journey was going to be light. Only when we come and rest with him, take his yoke upon us, because when we put his yoke on, he'll take it. He'll strengthen, he'll carry it through. So again, it's the wisdom applied, because we have knowledge. There's no doubt about it. In a great world we live in technology, at the hospital, Brady, you would have been hurting. The hospital today, they upgraded the system last night and it crashed. Nobody could buy food in the cafeteria. And you would have think they cut their paycheck by $100. Man, the people were mad. What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? I'm like, looks like y'all got stuff stored up. You don't have to eat it. You can miss a meal or two. Oh, we had fun with that today. We had a blast. But man thinks that they have it all in control. Listen, man's wisdom is foolish. Man, wisdom will not get you what you need to stay directed on that path. It's only the verse 1, the instruction, the doctrine, and the law. Don't forsake it. And God said, this is how we live our wisdom life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. I pray as we just continue to allow our lives to be affected by it. God, it's just not good verses. It's just not a good text to understand. It's the truth. And God, we need to be real. They need to see us basically living in a world that hurts, living in a world that's full of struggles. But yet, if we stay on our path, they can see how wisely we maneuver through the pitfalls that this world gives. And God, that's what they're looking for. That's what the world wants to see. And God, I pray that you just encourage us. Whatever gifts you've given us, whatever abilities we have, may we simply use them for your honor and for your glory. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. Alrighty. Is there any prayer requests, praises we can mention tonight? Praises or prayers? Yes.